If people reduce their exposure to air pollution by reducing the number of hours that they work, then this can impact their ability to generate income. And especially in a highly unequal place, then this could exacerbate income or health inequalities.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Every year, ambient air pollution kills 3 million people and it causes respiratory problems for hundreds of millions more. And if this means there's a trade-off between work and health, can urban workers avoid the harmful effects of air pollution without losing income? Bridget Hoffman of the Inter-American Development Bank and Juan Pablo Rudd of Royal Holloway University of London asked this question about low-income workers in Mexico City. And I'm with them now to talk about their research. Bridget, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having us.
And Juan Pablo, welcome as well.
Hi, Tim.
Bridget, air pollution, it's a very broad term, isn't it? What type of pollution are we referring to here? What sort of effects does it have?
So we study fine particulate matter. This is known as PM2.5. And particulate matter is not a single chemical compound. It's a mixture of different particulates that are different shapes, sizes, chemical compositions. And it's causally linked to a variety of negative health outcomes, and most notably both cardiovascular illnesses and respiratory illnesses.
So I think I know what the answer to the next question is. Why pick on Mexico City when you're investigating this?
Well, there's a variety of reasons why we focus on Mexico City. The first one is related to high pollution levels. That is common in many cities around the world. The second one is because it's a middle-income country, and that implies a specific composition of the labor markets that we think are important to study pollution, such as inequality, informality. You have the coexistence of modern and traditional sectors. And finally, which is something that matters a lot to us, is that it has a great wealth of data with high-frequency information on both air pollution and labor market outcomes.
But I wouldn't actually say pick on Mexico City, because we hope that our results, you know, speak more broadly to large cities with similar labor forces and developing countries around the world.
Yeah, there are many cities in developing and emerging economies that you go to and you can see the air, can't you? And so, of course, it's extremely relevant. As you say, in Mexico, though, there's data. You need a lot of data for this, specifically about the pollution. Where do you get this data? How frequently is it measured? How accurately can you measure it?
Well, there's an official agency called the Secretaría de Monitoreo Ambiental, which produces hourly measurements of air pollution from around 40 monitoring stations scattered around the city, around the metropolitan area, not just the city. Yeah, basically, we get information hour by hour on a variety of air pollutants, not just PM2.5, as Bridget was referring to, but also PM10 and others.
And if this was a medical study, I've seen some of these medical studies, and they have done a lot of work on measuring the impact of this sort of pollution on people's health. So you'd look at hospitalizations, you'd look at deaths, you'd look at all sorts of health indicators like that. But you're not measuring the impact on the number of people who go to work when pollution is high. Why is this additionally interesting?
There's quite a bit that's known about the negative impacts of air pollution, especially on health. But I think we know less about how people can adapt to environmental degradation. And that's kind of where I think we make a unique contribution. If people reduce their exposure to air pollution by reducing the number of hours that they work, then this can impact their ability to generate income. And especially in a highly unequal place like Mexico City, then this could exacerbate income or health inequalities.
So I suppose we better look at the headline result, first of all. What is the average effect on labor supply on these high pollution days? What effect is it happening on whether people go to work?
Well, we find quite striking results. So on an average high pollution days, the number of hours that people work is reduced by 7.5% on average. If you look at the peak pollution season, that means when pollution reaches its highest levels, that response may go up to 25%.
Gosh. And what are we talking about as high pollution here?
We're talking about 5 hours a day on high pollution days that are above the highest World Health Organization threshold.
What's happening here, though? Are workers given time off, or do they just take time off, not go to work?
Well, so that's an interesting question, and one to which we don't have a perfect answer for, because the data is very good, but it's not that good. So what we do find is that workers that can make those decisions, like self-employed workers or informal workers that just basically decide whether to work or not on a given day, they reduce the labor supply in similar ways as people working in offices or in shops or working for a wage in general. While we cannot say whether it's a worker's decision or whether it's a workplace decision, what we know is that our results suggest that those who can decide whether to work or not behave very similarly to those who presumably cannot decide.
But there is this idea that people are waking up, looking out the window, thinking, I'm not going to go to work today.
The one thing that we can say is it's likely not driven by public policy response, because we find that public sector workers they're following the same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that your post office or, you know, your government offices are closing down.
No, but also, is this because they're worried they might get sick, or is it because they wake up and some people are asthmatic, for example, and think, well, I can't go to work?
There's probably a role for both of those channels. But what's really interesting is that we find that on consecutive days of high pollution, workers start to mute their response. So as there's consecutive high days, people respond by reducing their labor supply a lot on the first day, higher pollution, and less so on additional days.
I see. So that sort of suggests that it's not because they're sick.
That's right.
They're worried about it, but they can't take lots of days off.
Exactly. So basically, they're trying to avoid their exposure to air pollution as much as they can.
Now, is the case that people then, because they've taken time off, they're not getting paid for the work that they're not doing, do they make up these hours afterwards?
So what we find is that on average, they don't, but some of them do. So one of the most interesting results that we find is that the poorest workers are less likely to lose a day of work. Basically, if you're a low-income worker and you depend on your daily generation of income, then you're less likely to miss out on that day.
I see. So high pollution, well, that's just tough. You're used to working in bad conditions anyway. You go to work.
Yeah, for us that know or have been working in middle-income countries, we can make an analogy to what happened during the pandemic, right? There were lockdowns. But of course, if you depend on your daily generation of income, then you cannot afford to stay at home.
Of course, yes.
And what you saw in a lot of places, including Mexico, but other middle-income countries as well, is that people eventually went to work, even though they had this hazardous virus to which they could be exposed to.
We've covered Mexico before on Vox Dev Talks, and one of the things that really comes across is the size and the strength of the informal economy there. Were you able to track the behavior of workers in the informal economy as well?
Yes. So we found that lower income workers respond less to high pollution than higher income workers. And we also find that informal workers respond less than formal workers. And both of these are dimensions of labor market vulnerability. But we find that overall, the income channel seems to be the strongest.
I see. You know, if you're in the informal economy, no one's going to give you a sick day, are they?
Yeah, exactly.
So I would imagine that, as you say, there's lots of lost work here. People aren't making up their income. You could do some kind of aggregate calculation of the impact on the economy, the loss to the economy from people not working because of pollution. Is that something you've been able to do?
So, yes. Yeah, so we have average information on income for different types of workers. And we also know how many hours fewer they're working. So if you just do a back of the envelope calculation, we use all that. So we find something in excess of $400 million a year.
Whoa.
That it's lost. So, of course, I think for us, it's easier to think in terms of percentages. For every hour of high pollution, in addition, workers on average lose 2.5% of their working hours. So basically, that could be a headline number to keep in mind.
Yeah, and this impact on the economy, it's something that we all know about in the backs of our minds, isn't it? But it's not normally explicitly communicated like this. We think about the health effects, we don't think about the work effects. So this is a sort of new dimension that you're bringing out on the impact of pollution.
I think a lot of people think of, you know, the impact on labor supply is through the health channel. Like you feel sick and you stay home and you don't go to work. But we're showing this additional channel that is through avoidance behavior.
And extremely important if you are working to earn the money to live and to send your kids to school, but for things like this. So this seems like just an additional punishment for being poor. When you look at how difficult it is to do anything about the levels of pollution in places like Mexico City, it's not like policy is going to have much of an effect on that. We can't expect that in the next few years. So is there any thing that policy can do to help the poorest people who are suffering the most from the impacts of pollution here?
So I think that's an interesting point, because the main challenge in our paper, in our research, is related to labor market behavior and not to health outcomes.
Not necessarily to the health outcomes.
Exactly. Yeah. So we know that those health costs exist. And of course, it would be good for someone to help people that are more exposed to pollution in terms of health outcomes. But here what we're picking up, it's a different, an additional, on top of all those costs, an additional cost, which is that people work less. So what happens is that the poorest workers are actually, on highly polluted days, are more likely to go to work. So they don't lose as much in terms of income because they go to work, but they are more exposed to high pollution levels.
Yeah.
So there's a trade-off there. And the question is whether you should prop up the health support or whether you should help these workers avoid the exposure to pollution.
It is a difficult trade-off, isn't it? Because if you are helping the workers to avoid their exposure to the pollution, you're still losing that work time, and that still has an impact.
Sure. But we're also showing that as workers face consecutive high pollution days, we're seeing that, you know, they stop responding to pollution, which indicates that income needs may start piling up and driving people back to work before they otherwise would. And so if this is driven partially by income differences, then one solution may be to try to help lower income people lower their exposure and hopefully prevent some of these negative health impacts.
As you say, Bridget, this is something that is a problem throughout the developing world, emerging economies as well, and in many advanced economies where the lowest income workers have the least control over their exposure to pollution. So thank you very much for doing the research, talking about it to me today. Thank you, Bridget.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Juan Pablo, thank you as well.
Thanks a lot.
The paper's called Exposure or Income: The Unequal Effects of Pollution on Daily Labor Supply. And the authors you just heard from them, Bridget Hoffman and Juan Pablo Arud. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. Now, the best way to make sure you don't miss an episode is to subscribe. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find us there. And our past episodes, as always, with articles about the papers we feature, are at voxdev.org.